It is a very appropriate headline from the Star, right? In that year after year, it's the same disappointments. It's the same way they go out as well, right? In game sevens, these elimination games, they don't score. Like, if they were losing 5-4 games, I would feel a little bit better. Yeah. At least there's some evidence that they are able to put a puck in the back of the net in a crucial game. But it's the same thing that happens constantly. They lose one of these closely contested games where they can't generate offense in spite of having some of the best offensive performers in the regular season in the National Hockey League. It has to be beyond infuriating for those at the top of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment to watch this year after year. And for now, and I guess at least until now, they have been doing the same thing, right? And that's reinvesting in the core four, bringing back Sheldon Keefe. And you wonder if this could be something different. All right, Dave Feshuk is back with us. Dave, good morning.
Testing, testing. Good to hear you guys talking this morning, fellas. I tell you guys, I mean, it does feel like we've been in this place before. It feels like deja vu all over again, does it not? And I think it does say something about where we are in Leafland that I woke up to my favorite morning show and I heard one of my favorite analysts, the smartest ex-player I know, Carlo Colaiacovo, essentially saying he has no other answer than the Leafs are cursed. I think that's it.
Right? I mean, like, seriously, like I'm trying to come up with a reaction as to how I feel about watching this team lose the exact same way again. And I guess my reaction is I'm confused. Why does this continue to happen with this group? And I'm going to ask you, Dave, what's your reaction to this group?
Well, look, I'm not going to say I told you so, but I do have documented evidence that, you know, we've been casting aspersions on this group for quite some time. You know, like, I was the one saying the mix isn't right when they blew the lead 3-1 to Montreal in 2021. That was 3 years ago. I was saying, how can it be that everything stays the same when we know this group is missing something? They are missing something, and the guys at the top of the food chain, and Brendan Shanahan, Kyle Dubas, and now Brad Treliving, haven't been able to identify what it is. And, yeah, I mean, I'm not that confused about it. Like, I'm very clear on that. These guys, there's an it factor about winning in the playoffs, and they do not have it.
Dave, let's start at the top with Shanahan, who's entering the final year of his contract with the Maple Leafs. How likely, unlikely is it that Brendan Shanahan is maybe privy to a contract extension, or maybe this is it for Shanny running the Shanahan plan here in Toronto?
Well, I'd never put anything past Mr. Shanahan. He's a very smart operator, obviously. He got an 11-year guarantee to run this team, and he's, you know, we all know what he's done in the games that matter. So never count this guy out. I mean, he knows how to move through the corridors of power and come out on the right side of it. So, but I would say this, if he gets a contract extension, I would be dumbfounded right now. I mean, there is no way you can give this guy a contract extension based on what he's done here. There is a wild card though, and it's Keith Pelly. I mean, it's a tough spot for Keith Pelly because he walks in, he spent the last 9 years plus living in a mansion in England, running the European golf tour, and now he's supposed to figure out what the hell's wrong with this dysfunctional team in 10 minutes and make a decision on it. He literally just got in the job a couple weeks ago. So this is not an easy spot for Keith Pelly. So I don't want to profess to know how Keith Pelly is going to handle this because Keith Pelly just got here.
Dave, what do you expect to happen? And what do you believe will happen?
Well, look, the easiest thing to do here is you know, make scapegoats out of the coach. Make scapegoats out of Sheldon Keefe, Guy Boucher. Clean that whole bench out. I mean, and rightly so. I mean, you can't go 1-for-21 on the power play after you go 2-for-11 against Florida last year. You know, and we know the litany of brutal power play performances. The one time they got it right was against Tampa. They scored 6 power play goals in 6 games. What do you know? They moved on. But they were 4-for-28 against Tampa the year before that, 3-for-23 against Montreal in 2021. I mean, we all know how a thing that is supposed to be their strength, a thing that could have moved them on in multiple series, has completely failed again and again and again. That's coaching in some ways. I also put it on the players. I'm not like, let's get to the players here, because the players are more culpable than anybody in this, and I don't want to overemphasize. I'm saying the easy play, the no hassle play, is to eat the money that you owe Sheldon Keefe and move on from there.
So let's assume that happens with Keefe, and who knows who his replacement might be. Greg Berube, Todd McClellan, maybe Joel Quenneville could all be mentioned as candidates. But I do want to hone in on the Mitch Marner question, because Nylander and Matthews, they just signed long-term extensions. John Tavares, good luck trading that contract with his full no move. $11 million for one more year. No one's taking that unless you're packaging assets with it. But Marner, I think, would be an alluring possibility for another team. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Again, he makes a lot of money, hasn't shown up in the playoffs, and you'd have to give up a lot to bring him in. But what do you think the appetite would be for the Toronto Maple Leafs to explore a Mitch Marner trade?
I think it's a huge, huge appetite, obviously. I mean, I think they've been bonked in the head enough now, you would hope, but they realize they got it. The mix does have to change. That you can't just keep going back with this. I mean, even Shanahan, who's been as stubborn as anybody about this, would have to admit that. Kyle Dubas admitted it in his last press conference that, you know, maybe something substantial has to change in the core. And who knows what he might have done if you know, he wouldn't have attempted the palace coup that went wrong and landed him in Pittsburgh. But, you know, look, Marner's going to steer the process, right? And we know how negotiations between Marner and the Toronto Maple Leafs have gone at the best of times, when they were talking about giving him nothing but money and showering him with all the riches he could imagine. Imagine how negotiations with him are going to go when it's more contentious, when they're basically saying, we don't love you anymore, Mitch. I don't love the potential outcomes of that, and I don't love how it's going to work out for the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's hard to win that trade, fellas, any way you look at it. And if they do, they'll be pulling off a real coup.
Yeah, no, for sure. Look, there's a lot of questions that need to be answered, but I asked this to Dregs. Are you surprised to see Sheldon Keefe speak today if he's a guy that most people expect that is probably going to be replaced?
Hey, it's a Maple Leaf sports and entertainment tradition. You know, Masai made Dwayne Casey do it when he knew full well that he was about to fire Dwayne Casey. That was an uncomfortable moment in history. You know, Masai likes to talk about how Dwayne's a great mentor and get all teary-eyed talking about Casey and how what a great man he was, but he did him dirty on that one. And look, there's no friends in this business. It is a ruthless, ruthless business. Everybody's out for themselves. Everybody's trying to survive here. And yeah, they're going to make Sheldon Keefe do whatever they want Sheldon Keefe to do, because guess what? They gave him a 2-year extension. No one's going to cry for him if he gets fired. He's going to have 2 years' pay coming to him, and I think he'll get another job because, you know, you look at his record, it's awfully good in big moments. To me, guys, the heart of the matter is what Jim Montgomery said after the game. You know, coaches are relatively powerless, you know, like when it comes to how are your guys going to perform. Montgomery said, like, he came to the rink, he wasn't sure if his players were going to grab it. He said, you know, ultimately you can prepare, you can videotape stuff, you can go over all the X's and the O's, but it comes down to the Jimmys and the Joes, and will they grab it? And the Leafs, again and again, the opportunity has flashed before their face, and they just have decided not to grab, you know, and we can go through the litany of stats to tell you exactly that, but one goal in the playoff series from Austin Matthews. I know he got hurt, but he's in six winner-take-all games. Austin Matthews, Mr. 69, has 0 goals. Mitch Marner in 6 winner-take-all games has 0 goals. You know, like, how do you win if your best players aren't your best players? I don't know. There's no easy solution. There's no coach in the world that's going to be able to figure that one out.
God, sure. I thought we were so past this conversation. Like, last year was supposed to be the start of the next step, and here we are again. Right back where we started with this group. It's just driving me nuts that we're here at this conversation again.
How about Honest Jim Montgomery revealing after the game that he solicited advice from John Cooper and Mike Babcock as to how to coach in a game center? What do you think Mike Babcock told Montgomery? I'm going to tell you.
These guys are
going to choke. They did it for me, and they're going to choke for Sheldon Keefe. And once again, for the 5th consecutive elimination game, Dave, the Maple Leafs scored 1 goal in it. 1 goal.
Yeah, you know what? It's amazing. It really, like, you look at it. Like, look at these winner-take-all games. 1 goal in 2024. They lost 2-1 in 2022. They lost 3-1 in 2021. They lost 3-0 in game 5 against Columbus. They lost 5-1 in 2019. Okay, you see a pattern there? I mean, yeah, there's a pattern. These guys freeze. They get stage fright. They choke, whatever you want to call it. And you're right. Like, I wonder who Babcock was cheering for, in game 7. You know, as much as I'm sure he's got an eternal grateful outlook toward all the money that poured into his bank account thanks to the Maple Leafs. I'm sure he'd love to see most of them rot in hell. So,
yeah.
But I mean, you know what, guys? Like, when it comes down to it, you lost to a terrible team. Like, Pavel Zacha and Charlie Coyle. Pavel Zacha and Charlie Coyle are their number one and number two centermen. No one's going to remember that in 10 years because no one's going to remember Pavel Zacha and Charlie Coyle. They had a combined 0 goals and 4 assists. They're number one and number two centers. Your team is built down the middle with center as its strength, with center as its centerpiece and its most, viable financial asset or biggest financial investment. And you got beat by, scrap heap guys. I mean, it's unbelievable.
We talked about this earlier, the Maple Leafs' defense in the 7-game series, which I think for the most part was great. I mean, Benoit and McCabe, I thought, were awesome against David Pastrnak. Joel Edmondson, Lyubushkin, they had really nice series. Morgan Rielly did not. And I want to make sure that I hit home this point enough today because Morgan Riley's part of this core. He's been with the Maple Leafs for, 11 years now? I mean, it's been
long tenured.
Longest tenured Maple Leaf, makes $7.5 million, is a full no-trade clause, long-term deal. He was amazing last year in the playoffs, but this year, Dave, I thought he was terrible. Like, I thought he was a hindrance to the Toronto Maple Leafs. And if you told me at the beginning of the playoffs that Joel Edmondson and Simone Benoit would be more reliable players than Morgan Rielly, I would have thought that would be an impossibility. But, in fact, it's something that did transpire here. And I'm not going to advocate the Leafs should part ways with Rielly. I don't think that's part of the equation either, but I think Rielly is someone who needs to reflect back based on his performance here in the 7 games and be like, I wasn't nearly good enough. Did not even come close to playing up to my capabilities. Your thoughts?
Well, I completely agree with you, but in the grand tradition of Leaf defenseman talk, let's blame his partner. Okay, what about Ilya Lyubushkin trying to go Paul Coffey, roaming below the goal line all night? I mean, I didn't really get that. I know Lyubushkin actually had a decent offensive series.
Yeah, more the same amount of points as Marner.
I know.
That's
I know.
More than Tavares.
Crazy. Like, and one fewer than Auston Matthews, right? Like, let's not forget that, there wasn't exactly, this was not exactly a points night on any night for the Maple Leafs in the playoffs. But yeah, look, I mean, last year, let's point out that Rielly was maybe their best player against Tampa last year. And I think a lot of people that I talked to around Rielly who've been advocating for Rielly and criticizing Rielly over the years pointed out that, it was Luke Shen. The steady force of Luke Shen, who was often at his side, was a major, major influence. I think the steady force of Luke Shen is underrated in how he sort of settled that team down last year against Tampa, sort of got them having some fun on the road, having team dinners, realizing it's not life and death, pointing out that, hey, there's nowhere I'd rather be. You got to have fun out there. I just don't think there's enough of that in that locker room. They're a tight group. I thought Joe Wall was a great influence because he was the guy saying, I'm having the time of my life. Like, this is the greatest thing. I hadn't heard a Leaf say that since Luke Shen. And it's a shame that Joe Wall suffered another injury because this guy he's been a Band-Aid through his career. And the only thing standing between him and being a guy you can rely on as your number one guy is the fact that you just can't rely on him to come out of the trainer's room not limping at any given moment. So, it's Rielly is as culpable as all of them. And it's not like a small sample size anymore, guys. Maybe in 2021 when I was saying you got to change the mix, it was a slightly too small sample size. Maybe I was being a little reactionary, but I was going with my gut. And I was going with the guts of people that have watched this sport a lot longer than I have that looked at this team and said, don't see it. They'll never do it with this group. And people are still saying it, and it's amazing, but here we are.
You can find Dave's work with the Toronto Star at DFestchuck on Twitter. Thank you for doing this, sir. We'll talk to you again soon.
Fellas, always a pleasure. And Carlo, get in touch with your mystics, your soothsayers, your psychics, and get this curse removed, would you?
Buddy, I tried to manifest it, but we have AK the Mentalist on this show who actually predicted the way the whole series is going to go. So maybe he's the problem.
I did say that when the Leafs were down 3-1, they would come back and lose in overtime in Game 7. That was exactly what I said. And I was right. But again, if you've been following the Toronto Maple Leafs for any period of time, this result should not have surprised you. It was maximum heartbreak, maximum pain infliction on the fan base. That's what they do. And until they make some kind of serious change to this organization, I think that's something they will continue to do. Thank you, Dave.
All right, fellas. Have a great day.
All right.
See you, pal.
Dave Festrick from the Toronto Star. This hour, first up, was brought to you by LeaseBusters. It is so easy to get out of your car lease at Canada's number one lease takeover marketplace. LeaseBusters. Avoid penalties and early termination. Go to LeaseBusters.com. All right, it's time. 416-870-1050. Wake up, Woodbridge. Extended version. It's next.